This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to Green and White, the first episode of this season's Argyle Life podcast. With us, we've got Sam.
Hello.
And, oh, actually, you are as well, aren't you, Sam? Also fresh from tonight's game, it's Finn.
Hi there, all
right. So, Argyle have just lost 2-1 to Swansea in a pretty competitive and relatively enjoyable pre-season friendly, and off the back of a 1-1 draw with Bristol Rovers, now League 2 Bristol Rovers, on, when was that, Saturday?
Saturday.
So, Finn, what are your thoughts on how pre-season started?
Yeah, I mean, okay, really. Obviously, had the kind of... But I went to the first games against Parkway and Saltash. Obviously, you can't read too much into those, but we still saw some nice patterns of play. It was nice to, you know, just see some football again. You know, in front of my own eyes. And then obviously Saturday was good, but again, it just kind of felt like last season, in that we looked the better side for lots of the game. We had the better chances, but a defensive mistake meant that we didn't come away with a win. And then today, obviously, against quality opposition, first of all, it's just surreal to be back in Home Park, although it's not like full capacity, not for it not to be deliberately socially distanced, felt like, well, it was normal, and it was just great. Just to hear a few chants of Argyle and things like that was amazing. But in terms of the actual game, I thought first half we started off really well, and like I said, much to the Bristol Rovers game, we failed to take our chances. And then I felt really after that, that was kind of the first 20 minutes. After those first 20 minutes, the midfield lacked a lot of organisation. And although you could see Swansea's quality, they kind of cut through us a bit. We got into half time, they scored like two good goals, but I felt like we were really struggling, particularly for their two goals. The midfield was struggling to kind of close the space and get out to them, because although the first goal was a great strike, there was literally like no one closing down the shot. And I thought, oh, here we go again, sort of thing. It kind of felt like Bristol Rovers and sort of a repeat of last season. But actually, I thought second half, whatever happened, we kind of tightened up a bit. And in general, the defence did well. Obviously, we're still having problems finishing chances. But yeah, I was quite encouraged by the display overall, really.
Sam, who's your stand-up player been thus far?
Of tonight or pre-season generally?
But either.
I think it's probably a lot of the same players of pre-season generally were also the best players tonight. I think Conor Grant is definitely, you know, the listeners to the podcast and I've always been a big fan of him, but I think he's definitely had a very good pre-season. He was one of our main attackers.
Do a shot every time you say that. It's not just the Conor Grant, it's the Anyone who listens to the podcast knows that I love him.
Well, yes, well, you've just extended it even further now. So, yes, he did well. He put a cross in for the goal that probably, in truth, Swansea should have defended better, but he still put a good cross into a dangerous area, so that was good. Played well generally, moved the ball forward pretty well. He's got a goal and a few assists already to his name in pre-season. Randall definitely is another one of the most promising players of pre-season and tonight. He was absolutely exceptional with the ball at his feet today, always making the right decision with it, always not just moving the ball on, keeping possession, but moving it forward wherever he could. He wasn't just going backwards and sideways. Obviously, there's times where you have to, but sometimes with young players, you kind of see that, you know, maybe a little bit of slopey shoulders, a little bit of wanting to avoid doing the dangerous thing. None of that with Randall.
It's also the way he went to get it too, the way he went to receive the ball, in a way that you really didn't see Fauna do last season.
No. Exactly.
Fauna almost like, he could have done it if he wanted to, but it was almost like, didn't seem like he wanted to sometimes.
You know, Fauna, he would quite often look over his shoulder, see that there was a player behind him, and just automatically just pass sideways. Whereas Randall today, I was noticing, he was looking over his shoulder, had the confidence to turn and play a forward pass. And I just...
Yeah, he broke the lines a lot.
Yeah. I thought, I know I'm getting ahead of myself, but maybe. But like, it's pre-season. Like, he's just played against a quality opposition, and he kind of, especially with the ball at his feet, he really held his own. For a player who hasn't played at like League One level, he's sort of passing. Well, Fauna played at League One level the whole season, and it already looks better than Fauna, like Fauna was last season, sort of thing.
Yeah, I agree. He really does show for the ball very well. He's always trying to receive the ball, and some really good through balls. That one on the counter attack for Ennis today, that Ennis maybe could have done a bit more of when he picked it up, but a really nice through ball by Randall in the second half to get it through to Ennis. Yeah, really promising player.
The thing with Randall, and I should add, it was actually confirmed by Ian Stonebridge that it's Randall, not Randell.
Yeah. I thought it was Randall as well, yeah.
Well, I started with Randall, I think ages and ages back, went to Randell for a bit because I heard other people saying it. Should have stuck with my guns. But the thing with him, and it's not even with him, it's with Argyle's formation in their midfield, is we still looked very open defensively. That midfield was still providing a total lack of protection when we were defending our final third. Pressing, we seemed fine. We seemed Lowe and Schumacher have clearly drilled the team quite well when it comes to pressing. But in terms of just marking and occupying space in the fight, and defending in the final third, they're kind of all over the place. And that's not anyone's fault, because none of them are instinctively a defensive midfielder. None of them are best known for their tackling. They're all best known for having the ball and not being without. And then none of them really a defensive leader either. There were a number of times when there was just a big gap that no one had spotted the space that they're meant to be marking. And then no one was also communicating to another player where they should be. And the reason why Randall might then come in for more criticism of it is because he's in the position that would have a defense midfielder instead. That would have a Josh Grant in it, or a Joe Edwards in it, or I want to say Fauna, but he wasn't exactly that good at it last season. But point is, he might come in for a bit more criticism, because if Argyle do start to chip goals early on and continue to waste their chances, that's something that might come up, because we've seen that second half Bristol Rovers, then very often when Swansea came forward today.
Yeah, that's something I was going to touch on, really, because like, although I've talked about the positive of Randall there, I think the first half I was not impressed at all, really, with like you said, with the way that the midfield
defended.
Yeah, just like no organisation. There's no leader, no organisation. And like I said, it's pre-season, but we can only take what we've been given so far. And I'm looking and I'm thinking, right, so we've got James Wilson, Dan Scar, and who is it, Brendan Galloway. All of them look like capable defenders, especially Dan Scar. I might come on to him in a bit. I thought he was excellent. But doesn't matter if you can just cut through your midfield, and then you've got potentially, if it's a 4-3-3, like I think Swansea played today, I don't know, I think it looked like a 4-3-3.
It was, I think.
Yeah, so you've got three fast attackers running at three exposed defenders. And like I've always said, like, you know, I'm a big fan of Randall. Yeah, Randall. And like, I know his qualities, but I said I would be wary of anybody coming from the National League, despite having a good season, playing League One football next season in a single pivot role. As well, like Jordan Houghton.
Yeah, same goes for Houghton, really. Yeah. He's not going to be that much better, is he?
No, exactly. Like,
might be a bit more streetwise and might communicate a bit more, but hell, David Fox is a communicator. Yeah. He's silent as a mouse when it came to defending.
So no one, you can say, oh, Lowe's brought in these centre-backs, they look more solid, which they kind of do, but it kind of makes no difference if your midfield is all disjointed, and like that's the biggest thing that's worrying me at the moment, and the fact that we continue to waste chances.
Yeah,
I mean, yeah, onto the wasting chances.
I certainly agree about the wasting chances. We had a lot of them today, didn't we? And we scored one, which, like I said, was kind of, it was a good cross. But
that was a horrific error. That was a horrific error.
But there were a lot of
them. If Argyle make that error, we would have spent like 10 minutes talking about it.
Yes,
we'd been talking about how it's all. That's a nice finish by Hardy.
Finally, after about five chances.
But yeah, if we look at some of the chances missed, let's just run by them quickly. There was the Jeff got one
well.
On one.
Yeah.
There was the Ennis one right at the start. There were the two Hardy ones first half, weren't there?
We genuinely out-created them in terms of chances.
Yeah,
genuinely.
We had the best chance. Ennis's header was the best chance.
Yeah.
If he hits that on target, he scores. As simple as that. And he totally miscued it. Head it straight down to the ground and over.
I think Niall Ennis possibly on form, and I think he looks like our best forward. But Ryan Hardy kind of routinely misses kind of scuffed shots. Niall Ennis has a really, really nice finish in him, but I think he's the biggest culprit for having a clanger, like a real clanger. Like, he can just miss from 1 yard out.
Who was that game? Who was the opposition when he skied it from like 3 yards?
Accrington.
Yeah, that ring.
Thankfully,
he then
scored the winner later in the game.
I mean, and the thing is, Jeffcott is such a. You really want them to be the other way around, because Jeffcott is just all about being not stationary, but limited movement in and around the box, well balanced, well set and ready to finish. And Hardy is more capable of finishing on the run. And Jeffcott continued his trend of not being able to finish while sprinting, going clean through but on the run. And it was good. It was good effort, actually. But I mean, it was quite telegraphed where I was going, so you can see how the keeper made the save. Whereas if that was him, just take a touch and shoot, and he wasn't sprinting, he could have put it anywhere he liked, you know. And then Hardy, of course, first time finishing. Hardy's movement, I tell you, his movement's improved a lot. There were a lot of times last season where I felt like he wasn't even getting into the goal scoring position. Whereas against Bristol Rovers and again tonight, particularly for that right footed effort where he just peeled into the space, great movement, but then still can't finish.
Yeah.
And he did score that, in the end, quite easy finish second half.
I mean, 3 yards. Let's not.
He had two good chances first half that he should have put away.
Could have had a hat trick against Bristol Rovers.
Yeah.
Really could have had a hat trick.
Could have had a hat trick today as well. So, to be fair, he is the top goal scorer in pre season with 4 goals, but he will probably be the first to say he could have got more than that 4. So, yeah, the not taking chances is still a bit of a concern. The defensive side, I can kind of hear what you're saying a little bit. I would say that we're probably not going to come up against a side as good as Swansea very often in League One. And ultimately, I think, whilst I think what you're saying first half is right, I think second half we did drop in better and we did anticipate Swansea's counter-attacks a bit better than we did in the first half. So I'm a little bit more open-minded that might see a notable improvement. Not that you're not open-minded, but I'm a little bit more positive, shall we say, that might be a meaningful improvement. But obviously time will tell. The more games that we have, the more we'll see if that is going to be a genuine chink in the armour or not, or whether it's just, whether it was just a bit of a gelling period, if you like, and it will actually come to get better. Hopefully it will.
No, I feel like my biggest concern here, and I keep saying, I hope he proves me wrong, but like I said, he's brought in good he looks like he's brought in capable defenders. And especially in Dan Scar and James Wilson, good communicators also. However, like, you want to play a single pivot, right? You probably need them to be a good passer of the ball. But first of all, you kind of need them to defend.
particularly when you've only got three players behind them. And
yeah,
he plays such a risky style, because when we do press high, we're so vulnerable on the counter. And there was that, and I think the thing for me was that Swansea took their foot off the gas about 5 minutes after their second, because you know, there's no need for them to run themselves into the ground. It wasn't game over, it was let's try and control the game. And definitely in the second half, Argyle benefited from not making constant changes throughout the throughout the second half. It was only right towards the end when we saw, you know, the mass rotation come in, whereas Swansea swapped pretty much all of their team at constant intervals, and that very much helped keep the momentum in our favour, and as in prevent Swansea from building up head of steam. We shouldn't have the same defensive issues on the same level as last season, because we shouldn't have centre backs handing away goals left, right, and centre, and we shouldn't be quite as vulnerable from set pieces. And you're right, Scar has looked good. There were all those complaints by Walsall fans. And whenever complaints like that come in, I always wonder to what extent is it the player or the team?
Because
the team you play in and the players around them, what you're asked to do changes how a player can look. And that's how you can get a Sonny Bradley with all those terrible recommendations who turns out to be great.
Like, don't get me wrong, like, the passes he's making isn't difficult. But by what the fans were saying, he couldn't even make... he looks like the best passer in that back three. In fact, James Wilson looks like the one that's struggling the most with the ball. Actually,
I'd agree with that. Although I'd say Gillespie looked like the best passer.
You know, the ones that started, you know what I mean?
Definitely better than Galloway.
Yeah,
I definitely think Gillespie. I think, to be fair, that one brainless moment aside...
Is that Gillespie or Gillespie?
Gillespie, I think. It's P-H-E-Y, is it Gillespie?
Yeah, but that might be a different spelling of Gillespie.
I don't know.
We got pronunciation issues again.
Well, it would have been nice if Argyle had a working to tell us tonight, wouldn't it?
But my ears nearly broke. My ears. I was right below that. Right below it.
Oh, like I've been down to the toilet and I didn't know what had happened. I thought there was thunder up ahead or something. Or someone was outside with a digger driving into the stadium or something. I thought
the stadium was falling apart. You know when that Morecambe game was called off because the roof was collapsing?
Yeah.
That's what I thought was happening, because I couldn't work out what it was.
My heart nearly went out of my mouth. I'm going to say, I didn't know what I thought was happening, but I thought that is not good, whatever that is.
You think after 19...
it's the PA system.
You think after 19 months of not having fans in the ground, that's one of the first things they would have checked before they...
Well, thing is, they did. I thought that, but then on the other hand, they did actually do announcements, didn't they? When fans weren't there, they still announced the goals, even when fans weren't there. So this is obviously another mix-up of some sort.
And then I should also add on the catalogue of potential errors. Obviously, we had the Bristol Rovers fiasco, which, I mean, before the game, both you and I, Sam, were fully expecting. I mean, I work in digital. Whenever a new website that's launched, particularly when it's developed by an agency, which I'd put money on it being developed by an agency, because I doubt Argyle have an in-house website builder. Whenever that happens, they always skimp and they never properly test it. And whenever there's anything like that, you always have some kind of login issue the first couple of times. And then this time, I got timed out about the hour mark. It just logged me out. Session expired.
Yeah, there's clearly some teething problems they need to get through, aren't there? But hopefully they will do. Hopefully
at least they've got pre-season and a series of games to identify them, so hopefully that'll... I bet you that's why it was free, because it'll take them a little while to make sure it's working properly.
Yeah, you could well be right there. After the Rovers mixed up, I think they probably might have just said, right, this is just best. Because I think they only announced it was going to be free after the Rovers game, didn't they?
It was yesterday.
So I think you're probably right that it was a bit of an aspect of, let's just get it working regularly and then we can sort out the payment window and all that kind of thing.
Sure people can watch it first and then we'll get the payment bits up before the season starts.
Yeah, and I think that's probably fair and reasonable. But yeah, the PA was quite... by the way, the Swansea fans, that's got to be the loudest crowd I've ever heard from a pre-season. I can only assume they'd all been on the Barbican all day, because they were right on it from minute one. They were giving jip to Cooper when he was going for his goal kicks. They were singing about footballs going to Rome. They were we were weighing every completed pass. I don't know what they'd been on before the game, but that's the most animated pre-season crowd I've ever heard.
Yeah, they were great. It was just great to hear atmosphere again at a football ground and be witness to that. And, you know, just I can't wait until the season starts in a few weeks, to be honest with you. Because I think that was a good kind of, I guess, appetizer tonight. But the league games are going to be. I can't wait. But
I was going to say on that. I just wish that Argyle offered a crowd only option. Just tonight wasn't even commentary. It was like it was a one man band of like chat and conversation with a little bit of commentary interspersed. And oh, I got by the end, it was just really getting to me. I'm like, you've contradicted yourself about 10 times tonight. You've said, oh, well, it's good for him to that. Oh, except it might be bad. Or it might be good, but it might be bad. It might be. It was like, well, it's good to score in preseason, but obviously, if you haven't scored in preseason, you don't care. It was that over and over. It was like in every it's have your cake and eat it. And we had like
it's
seven
still far
examples.
Better than when the Radio Devon lot were doing it, though. As a rule, obviously, I wasn't listening to commentary like them at the game, but it's far better than when the Radio Devon lot were doing it.
The option for no audio and just crowd noise is what I mean. Like that's I much prefer that sometimes, not all the time, but tonight I only turned it back on for a little bit so I could hear the crowd, and then I muted it after a bit of commentary.
Yeah, fair enough. And I wasn't listening tonight, so I can't really comment on it, to be fair. But I think Rob, who does the commentary, is normally pretty good, and it was Stonebridge on with him tonight, wasn't it? Stonebridge is normally good, to be fair, as a co-commentator.
I don't know what it was. I mean, like I say, I don't know. It just felt like they needed to dial down the chat enough of the commentary just a bit.
I guess maybe just, it's
that was how I felt tonight.
Yeah,
anyway.
fair enough. I guess it might have been a bit of a pre-season thing. But yeah, so I'm very, very happy overall that performance. Yes, there might still be a few defensive holes to iron out, but, you know, three things really. One, you know, ultimately pre-season is about learning. It's about recognising the holes. Two, I think we kind of did, you know, you can say maybe it was down to Swansea just, you know, taking their foot off the pedal, but I do think, you know, Randall did get a bit better at dipping in and not that he was dreadful, but he got better at dipping in and anticipating where the ball was going to go for their counter-attack second half. I think he certainly improved in that regard. So I think, one, it's about learning. Two, they're already learning. And three, ultimately, the first half was pretty much their first team. And that's the team that, you know, with a couple of players having left, admittedly, that's the chunk of the team that got to the Championship playoff final last season. So we're not going to play many teams as good as Swansea. So, you know, well, yes, there are still some areas to work on, of course. The fact that we then pretty much, I would say...
Well, let's not try to actually judge ourselves on Swansea. It's a pre-season friendly. This is just picking and choosing, because whenever we play a Johnson Paint Trophy game, you're writing it off as meaning absolutely nothing and there's no lines to be taken.
But when we play
Swansea in a nothing game, all of a sudden there's ample to take out.
I don't think I've ever said there's nothing to take from the performance, even in the Johnson
Paint Trophy. You always just referred to it as like pre-season friendly, so it's pointless.
Yeah, but pre-season friendly, you can still take the performance. Like in the autumn, without wanting to get too nitpicky, in the autumn of 2017, when we were having that revival of form after the dreadful start to the season, we played well in the Johnson Paint Trophy game then. So, whilst, you know, the results aren't important, the way we were playing...
That's not what you've said before. I know that's not what you've said before.
Well, what I said before is it's like a friendly. I've never said results. I've said results on the board. I've never said performances aren't. That's what I've said.
Basically, I've gone, Finn.
Can I just quickly just about the defence? Dan Scar and James Wilson in particular, just so refreshing to hear hear centre-backs communicating. And telling people where to be. I mean, Dan Scar never shuts up. He just reminds me of a typical League One, League Two centre half. I'm not saying he's anything amazing. I'm just saying it's so refreshing to see somebody who seems to be in the right position to clear away headers, who's talking to his midfield, who's talking to his defence to tell them where to be.
Yes. Was Galloway not communicating then, or was it just couldn't hear him?
I couldn't hear Galloway. I could hear Wilson and Wilson was. I was on Galloway's side for the second half, and I couldn't hear, like, in the first half. I could hear Wilson, and in the second half, I heard Galloway shout a couple of times, but it wasn't like communication. You know, it was like be there rather than sort of. You know, it was sort of what a poker used to do, but I haven't seen him enough. But that's my observation. So like a poker later in the season when he kind of got a bit better at communicating, but he still wasn't really.
It was properly, small bursts.
Yeah, exactly. Rather than constant communication, which
and then
what...
And then Cooper was the other one I wanted to ask, was how was Cooper's communication? Because obviously, I remember when McCormick, we said that at the time, but when McCormick came on, was that against Sunderland?
Yeah.
And literally, the instant he came on, you could hear him loud, clear, thrive in a way that you just couldn't hear Cooper.
Yeah.
It may have just been the one word, but you could hear it.
Today, I couldn't hear Cooper very much, apart from the first time when he just, a few times when he said, leave it, as in, you know, that's my ball. But he, from what I can see, he's hardly a constant communicator.
I think
he's better than Matt Macy. Can I just say that, like, in communication?
Oh, definitely. I think I'd be more communicative than Matt Macy was. And with Cooper, I didn't hear at all today any communication because I was up in the top row, so I wouldn't have really heard it. I think on iFollow, Cooper's communication definitely did get a lot better as the season went on. Not anything like the same level as McCormick, but he certainly did become a more regular and more consistent communicator for Argyle, for sure. And hopefully that may continue, but as I said, I can't really add or, you know, confirm or contradict what Finn said because I was in the very top row, so I wouldn't have really heard it.
I think when we see more games of these players, hopefully this season, we'll be able to get a more sound adjustment on who's the real communicators and who's not. One thing I can tell you is that James Wilson and Dan Scar definitely are, because they don't shut up. Like,
yeah, that's good. That's good to hear, because ultimately it was the problem last season. It was, you know, we had a lot of defenders who had some talent about them, but certainly were not leaders in any way, shape or form. And we did kind of worry maybe Lowe would go too far the other way, and maybe that's yet to be seen whether he has or not. But what we've certainly done is we've hired defenders who may not quite have, you know, all the skill and finesse playing out from the back, but they absolutely do the first job, which is to defend. You know, they're big, they're meaty, they're vocal, they talk.
They don't try and nutmeg somebody and then give away the ball.
They don't do silly stuff like Opoku and Watts did. They do the job and they do it efficiently. And they may not have all the frills,
was it Fauna who started at the end of the season posting like little montage clips?
Oh my gosh.
I remember one of them was Blackpool away and he put it on there like it was some moment of skill, and it was just, it showed his inexperience, because an experienced player would never have even attempted that, because you know that 9 out of 10 times you're losing the ball. And I'm pretty certain a game later he did the same thing, gave it away and we conceded. Something like that.
Yeah, I mean, he would wait on the ball and then do a cross turn just as somebody was
about to finish. Opoku versus Sunderland, was it?
Oh.
He attempted nothing.
Yeah. Jeez. Try and beat one player while you've got another one on you as the last man, dearie me.
Yeah, those games all merge into one, to be honest with you, sadly.
So I'm just remembering. No, I'm just remembering Lowe. Pan, yeah. That was your fault. What's that? What did he do again?
That was when he gave the ball away, and then Opoku had to go in for the tackle and got sent off to Sunderland. That was after Kamara.
Yeah, that was it, 1-1.
Talking about Kamara today.
Excellent today, actually, yeah.
Yeah, really good. And it was, again, like, because I've just seen players on iFollow for the last year, like, actually seeing the effect that his pressing has on tired legs and the amount of regains we were able to have. I think Lowe did say in an interview after the Bristol Rovers game that has been something that they've been working on, winning the ball higher up the pitch. And
you can tell, because we did it a lot second half today. Kamara
did it well.
I think Jeffcott, to be fair, is not the, shall we say, the most natural athlete of our players. So maybe he didn't quite have the same sharpness and raw speed as Hardy and Ellis, but you could see Jeffcott was doing certainly really well at trying to do it. He was getting his foot in, pressing high up the pitch. Kamara and Ennis were doing it to great effect. Law tried to do it, maybe not, you know, quite so much because he was a wide player, but Law and Edwards tried to do it a little bit. Kamara and all the strikers tried to do it. You could, you know, I wasn't actually aware Lowe had said that, Finn, but it does very much confirm, because it was something that I said we were doing a lot more. We were pressing in the final third a lot more. And I think that's something that with players of Cameron's energy and of Cameron's ability, certainly in terms of carrying the ball forward, his actual execution of the passing can be, shall we say, hit and miss. But certainly in Cameron's ability to carry the ball forward and his energy, that pressing higher up the pitch is something that could really, really reap rewards if he is going to be in the team.
This was definitely a game for Kamara, because obviously Swansea were expecting to have more of the ball, and he's our best player when it comes to pressing from midfield, simple as that. Possibly the best player overall. Maybe Hardy could compete for that. But then also, of course, struggles a bit if he comes up against like a packed defence. Like Bristol Rovers constantly got players behind the ball, and I think he barely played a ball into the final third. You know, he was always turning and passing back, so that's just not where his skill set lies. But when he's got the ball and there's space up ahead of him, and you know, he can beat a player, you know, in a, you know, he can drag it back, he can take it this way or that way, he can do a little turn fine when there's space around him. And so it's definitely a game for him, and you could see that. And yeah, like you say, his pressing was excellent. It almost won us the game. It won us the game. Almost helped us tie the game.
I mean, I think we should. I think we were good value for the draw, really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can argue with that.
I
think we were the better of the two, if anything.
Yeah, well, on certainly on chances created. I mean, touching on we haven't touched on Ryan Law, and I thought he was actually quite good today.
Definitely got stronger in the second half, I'll tell you. I thought first half was a bit, you know, but then that second half, he really came into it towards the end when he drove inside. When he got the ball, before he drove inside, I thought, well, he's just going to run into a cul-de-sac down the line, get tackled or win a throw or lose a throw, whatever. He really surprised me just the way he drove inside. He caught the defender off guard and then a brilliant bending shot on his right foot and almost scored, and then
that moment when he flicked
the ball over his head, there was a moment where he had a little piece of skill on the outside of his boot, think towards the end of the first half, and he really just grew into the game in a way that surprised me. Because you know me, Sam, you know I like Law, but even I'm not going to say he's like the best player, but yeah, that surprised me.
He
did show a lot more than I'd seen from him, and that it was the defensive discipline as well. Because my maybe previous doubts about him been, yes, you know, he's got a little bit of talent going forward, I've never disputed that, but is he a bit of a weak spot? Our team's going to target him defensively. And to be fair, today he didn't have any problem there. He got back well when he had to, and he defended well, and nothing really came down his side at all. So yeah, good performance.
Disagree a bit there, but go on, Finn.
In the first half, I thought we were letting crosses into the box way too easy, and letting them get down the line way too easy. But in the second half,
came down the other side that I can remember. Though, did it not?
Plenty also came down the left.
I'm not forgetting a bit. Fair enough then.
But second half, I think the whole thing tightened up. And actually, I really rated, talking about his defending, I really rated, I think, in about the 90th minute, where it was kind of bouncing around in the box a bit of pinball, and he just cleared it across the pitch and he swallowed it. I thought he was good. And actually, it'd be really good to see him actually challenge this season, because I tell you what, he's probably our most natural left-sided, like, fullback. We haven't got a fullback. Conor Grant, and I know he's a wing back, but you know what I mean. Like Conor Grant and George Cooper aren't defenders really, and they haven't played. They haven't played on the left side of defence before our goal, I don't think.
No, I still thought that there were things that Law needed to improve on defensively, but I think that was less him, more. It's just more the team. It's like, you know, I think individually, all those players can make tackles. We saw Randall snap in a couple of early challenges right at the beginning of the game. Grant can tackle. Mayer's made some good tackles. It's not like they can't tackle. Their technique's kind of okay. The problem is that they're not anticipating the danger. They're not filling spaces. They're not seeing where overload's being created. Like with Swansea's 4-3-3, every now and then, the wingers would come really narrow and they'd tuck in ahead of the centre-backs but behind midfielders, meaning that there was that easy passing triangle where you can 1-2 between the centre-mid to the winger who's, you know, totally unmarked and in space, and he can let it back into the centre-mid who's running beyond our midfield. And then all of a sudden, you know, they've broken our midfield lines. Or then they could push up the full-backs while they came inside, and then they were just making space all over the pitch. And that's because, as a team, we just weren't defending well. And Randall was both part of that, but also a victim of that, because there was a time late on when Danny Mayer was almost covering at left back, and he just started walking back in field, leaving the right wing back completely open. And I think, I'm presuming it wasn't Grimes because off by then, but the centre mid just turns all that space out, and then out ball goes wide and in comes across. And, you know, there's a lack of communication there. Mayer's not telling Law that he's coming back inside. Law's not telling Mayer he has to stay there. There are a number of times like that, and I think you see it less on the other side because Edwards and particularly, obviously, Wilson, stronger communicators again.
Yeah,
but there are definitely areas to work on for Law defensively.
I don't want to make this, because how many times have we discussed Danny Mayer in length on this podcast? But it's frustrating me. Like, that's the first game back, And I know it's pre-season, but I, as one of one of the more experienced players on that side, like just the way sometimes he gives away the ball in midfield, it really frustrates me. For me, a player of his experience should just know better. Not what, and we know he can do that turn, but he almost does it all the time. And because he's so good at it, he gets away with it. But today, you got to know a bit of ball nicked off him. They had a shot, they scored. And it's just like, as an experienced player, in an unexperienced sort of midfield as a whole, like, I think you should just do a little bit better there. And
we did have a few moments, didn't we, of Mare, where he kind of pondered on the ball a bit too long and kind of maybe missed an opportunity to run into space or missed an opportunity to make a good pass, didn't we? And it just kind of came to nothing, unfortunately. He's a very talented player, obviously, but he still has those moments in him, doesn't he, without a doubt.
Don't want to hang him out to dry over that one, though, because if he pulls it off and Alvaro on the lovely counter-attack and then potentially create a chance, then all of a sudden everyone's purring. So, I mean, that's just an element of risk-taking. But I agree, at the time wasn't especially... As he went to do it, I was actually thinking, oh, no, please don't. And then as he came forward, it was... I don't know, I almost felt like that was about to hit the back of the net, and so it did. I think it was his first touch. His first touch almost seemed to play him into trouble a bit. And then, from then on, I just thought, you know... Play it safe here. Don't take the risk. You've got two players converging on you. Don't take the risk. And it didn't come off.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a bit of a frustrating moment. But I guess in pre-season with those, it's kind of maybe not so much worth trying, but you can kind of understand him trying. Because if it does come off, then what an absolutely fantastic counter-attack. And we could have gone down the other end and overloaded them, like you say. So,
and taken the lead, because it's 0-0.
And maybe taking the lead, exactly. So... yeah, you know, I'd say just fair enough with that. What I'm more concerned about is, again, the time that he just did slow us down a bit too much when he was kind of bursting into space and sort of ran into a bit of a blind alley a couple of times rather than just releasing the ball quickly or rather than just, you know, getting his shoulder down and taking someone on. It's those that bother me a little bit more than that defensive error, you know?
Yeah.
So I was going to say, last question. What else do you want to see? Because we've got... who's coming up now? Middlesbrough, Torquay, Bristol City.
Friday night, and then... yeah, and then it's Middlesbrough Friday night and then Tavistock on Saturday, so I can understand it will be a very much youth-slash-reserve team that will go to Tavistock.
Presume so, yeah.
I'd like to see a performance very much like tonight going forward, but with a couple of the defensive naiveties obviously cleared up a little bit. You know, whilst I'm a little bit less, you know, worried about it than you two are, I see what you mean in some respects, and there is still... you kind of do get the sense that a good defensive coordinator coach would improve this team. So I would like to see a similar performance going forward, but with maybe just a little bit more coordination and understanding at the back. That would be very nice to see indeed.
I think that and, well, I know...
and finishing.
There's no rush. Finishing that and a couple of players come in over the next couple of weeks because... I still feel like we spec, right? So I don't think we're getting another DM because although I think we need one, I don't think Lowe thinks we do. So
I bet you'll think we need one before the end of August.
Yeah, well, yeah.
If we ship gold early in the season, then all of a sudden that'll change rapidly.
I hope so because, like I said, I like what I've seen of Jordan Houghton. I really like Adam Randall, but I question their ability to be able to do that job at this present moment that we need them to do in the formation that we play it. And that's not, you know, bashing them as such. That's just, they're not the right kinds of players to do that job.
10% less offensive, 30% more secure in defence. You know, it's in terms of trade-off, you'd maybe score 10 fewer goals but concede 20 fewer.
Yeah, and
that gets you more points over a season.
But saying that, Nick, we might not even score those 10% because you can't finish chances at the moment. So,
I mean, yeah, the main thing I want to see against Middlesbrough, against Bristol City, against Torquay, not really too fussed about Tavistock for the reasons Sam said. The main thing I want to see, number one, when we get chances, I want to see our strikers finish them. Not all of them, but I mean, look at how many Hardy had against Bristol Rovers. Ennis' chance later on as well against Bristol Rovers. Then obviously Ennis had top chance here. Just it doesn't really matter because if they hit goal scoring form at the start of the season, then no one really cares after preseason. But nevertheless, I would much rather see them
You'd like to see them get into the habit of scoring chances.
Same that. I just want to see them not waste chances. I just don't want a repeat of last season, which is wasting chances at one end and giving them away at the other.
And I'd also like to see us sign another centre-back by the end of the window. There's no rush at the moment. And another striker, because I think
we need another. I mean, I'm not sure Shirley's going to be enough.
No, at
this stage.
And we said, we don't need, you know, last season we were like, we have too many strikers, but now we've sorted out that, because at least the centre of defence to an extent. I think Hardy, Jeffcott, and Ennis are, you know, good options in their own right, but I think to have that four strikers competing for two spots, that's what you want ideally.
Even if it's only a lonely, we'll get one more.
Yeah, probably. The risk is obviously if, say, you lose one of those starting three, then all you have then is Shirley off the bench. And
yeah,
I mean, I don't actually know enough to know if he's good enough. It might be that he's too young, and that maybe in a few seasons' time he'll be good enough.
He's
but
got
it,
some
doesn't...
promising moments in him for sure. But I think if you're going to,
it's an almighty gamble.
Yeah, you'd want him maybe as like a wild card fifth choice striker, kind of like Lolos.
Yeah, and why not? And I would actually get a strike on a permanent and use him as the sort of fifth lonely striker like we had with, I don't know, well, it was like sixth or something, wasn't it? But Timmy Abraham came in last year and played nothing, but you might as well give some minutes to Shirley.
Mm-hmm.
Anyhow, that's the show. We'll hopefully be coming back on some more good performances against good opposition too. To look back at next week, probably after Bristol City. And the season's getting closer. It's getting closer. It's what, just under 3 weeks away?
Mm.
Blimey, so it is.
Doesn't really feel like there's been a break, given the Euros and finish to the season.
No, it really
doesn't.
There
you go. We'll be back next week. Thank you all so much for listening, and goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.